Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 9, day 1 of our study of Judges. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Judges 18, 1 through 10. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I want to invite you to check out all of the extra content we have over at 10weekbible.com. There you can find links to purchase hard copy and Kindle versions of many of the studies we've done and a host of other resources, including podcast archives. Check out 10weekbible.com today. That's the number 10weekbible.com. All right, with that, would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Come and touch our hearts. Fill us with the knowledge of you. We want to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's Word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Judges chapter 18, starting in verse 1. In those days, Israel had no king. Now, I want to pause right there immediately because you remember that I've already said that we're going to see this multiple times here. Our narrator here is letting us in on a little secret here, is that this is not going well. None of these stories are actually all that good. This story is going to have a very interesting outcome. We're being told this story because it's going to explain why the city of Dan is far outside the tribe of Dan. The tribe of Dan was located in the south near Judah, and the city of Dan is located as far north in Israel as you can go. And this story is going to explain why that is. All right, back to verse 1. In those days, the tribes of the Danites were seeking a place of their own where they might settle, because they had not yet come into an inheritance among the tribes of Israel. So the Danites sent 5 of their leading men from Zorah and Eshtaol to spy out the land and explore it. These men represented all the Danites. They told them, "Go explore the land." pausing right there. So again, one of the reasons the Danites had not come into their own land is because they weren't actually able to take the land that was allotted to them. They hadn't been able to displace all of the people, and so they were kind of living amongst the other tribes and amongst the foreign people. They had not been able to push them out. For whatever reason, whether or not they didn't really want to fight them or something, they had not been able to get rid of all the other people. All right, continuing on. So they entered the hill country of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah, where they spent the night. When they were near Micah's house, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. So they turned in there and asked him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? Why are you here?" So obviously, this Levite, who was from the region of Judah, had traveled around enough, or the Danites had been living in the region of Judah for long enough, they had gotten to know this guy, that they actually recognized his voice before they saw him. Someone's walking along and they hear this Levite's voice and they're like, "Wait a second, I know that voice, but not from here." I mean, this may have been the first time that any of these guys have been anywhere near Micah's house. And so they're thinking, this is out of place, but I know that that voice, and we haven't been here, so let's go find out. And they go in and they find the Levite, and they're like, "What on earth are you doing here?" And so he tells them this, verse 4. He told them what Micah had done for him and said, "He has hired me and I am his priest." Then they said to him, "Please inquire of God to learn whether our journey will be successful." The priest answered them, "Go in peace. Your journey has the Lord's approval." One of the things that we don't see happening there is we don't see the priest actually asking God whether or not the Lord said that they were going to be successful. They specifically asked the priest, "Hey, inquire of the Lord for us." They're treating him like a prophet. He's a priest, but they're treating him like a prophet, saying, "Hey, go ask the Lord if we're going to be successful." It could be that he asked. It could be that the Bible is just kind of omitting that step, and that he did go and ask the Lord and then come back and say, "Yes, the Lord says this." But it almost gives us the impression that he didn't ask the Lord and he just presumptively announces over them, "Yes, you're going to be successful." Now, in the end, we see that they are successful in doing what they set out to do. But I find this very strange that he's going to be so, incredibly lax with this. It's what it seems like. If it were me and they said, "Inquire of the Lord," I feel like I would want to go away for some amount of time and actually ask the Lord. Now, I could come back and say, hey, listen, I didn't hear anything from the Lord, but he's told us to take this land. So go and do it. He's going to be with you. I mean, that's maybe an appropriate answer. But just saying, don't worry about it. The Lord's with you. He'll give you what you want. That's a little presumptuous. That's a little presumptuous for me. I find that very, very interesting. All right, verse 7. So the five men left and came to Laish, where they saw that the people were living in safety, like the Sidonians, at peace and secure. And since their land lacked nothing, they were prosperous. Also, they lived a long way from the Sidonians and had no relationship with anyone else. When they returned to Zorah and Eshtaol, their fellow Danites asked them, "How did you find things?" They answered, "Come on, let's attack them. We have seen the land and it is very good. Aren't you going to do something? Don't hesitate to go there and take it over. When you get there, you will find an unsuspecting people and a spacious land that God has put into your hands, a land that lacks nothing whatsoever." This is very much like the story of the people of Israel coming into the land of Canaan and taking it over. This sounds a little harsh, a little heavy-handed, like, my gosh, they're living at peace and security and they don't suspect a thing. Let's go kill them all and take their land. Again, that sounds really harsh, but this is exactly what the Lord commanded them to do in the first place. And again, I don't know if the Levite actually sought the Lord or not, but the whole point of them coming to the land of Canaan was that the Lord was going to give them a land that they didn't have to plant the vineyards or build the houses or do any of the stuff that you would have to do to develop the infrastructure for a nation, for a land. And the Lord is going to give it all to them for free, basically. All they had to do is go fight and take it over. And we have to keep in mind as we read this, there's so many voices today saying, you know, the Lord is this maniacal killer. He's just sending them in to go murder these peaceful people. We have to keep in mind why the Lord sent them into this land to do this. We have to remember, we have to go back hundreds of years to when God promised this land to Abraham. He says, "I cannot give it to you yet." God says, "I'm going to give this land to you in the future, but I can't give it to you now." And the reason was the sins of the Canaanites were not yet so bad that the Lord was going to bring this devastating justice upon them. Whenever the Lord judges, and this is a judgment upon these cities that the Danites are going to take over, whenever the Lord's judging, or whenever he casts judgment over a place or people, his judgments are always true and righteous. We know that. We are the judges. When we judge, we don't judge appropriately. We don't always judge with truth and righteousness. God always judges with truth and righteousness. David talks about how his ways are so much higher than our ways. His thoughts are so far above our thoughts. That is so true. So when we see something like this, we have to remember, we have to take a step back, that the reason God is doing this is because of how sinful these people are. There are cries going up to heaven against the leaders, against these people because of their sin and their wickedness. And that is why God is giving this land to the Israelites now. And in fact, when the Israelites sin hundreds of years from this point, when their sin becomes so great, God is going to remove them from the land. He's going to bring judgment on them. So this is not a God loves Jews and hates everyone else. God chose the Jews to reveal his glory through. He chose them to reveal who he is, to bring the Messiah to the earth. That's who the Jews are. But it's not like God is like, oh, I love the Jews, and even though they're these rotten people, I'm gonna give them a pass because, you know, they're my chosen people. So they get to do whatever they want and get away with it. He didn't treat them like that. They are going to suffer the exact same fate hundreds of years from now that these people are suffering at the hands of the Israelites because of their sin. And 400 some odd years before this, God told Abraham, "I can't give this land to you now because the sins of these people does not deserve me to bring judgment on them. But I know what's coming, and I know that it's going to, and it's that point that I will give you this land." We have to remember that God's judgments here are not arbitrary. They're not mean-spirited. This is hundreds of years of terrible sin. Sin like child sacrifice, temple shrine prostitution, every manner of debauchery and vile thing that you can imagine. If you can imagine anything worse than child sacrifice, it's going on. And it's been going on for hundreds of years. And the Lord says, my patience is up. I'm giving this land to you. I'm bringing judgment on these people. And again, we have to keep in mind that the Lord is even-handed because he's going to do the very same thing to this very same people hundreds of years from now. He's going to be fed up with their sinfulness, the fact that they won't turn their hearts back to him. He's going to bring judgment on this very same people that he's giving the land to right now. So the Lord's judgments always are true and righteous. Well, that's all that we have for today. If you haven't already, make sure that you subscribe and leave a comment so that you can stay up to date with this podcast. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.